What's up, Rock Church? Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday, happy Sunday. Happy Super Sunday. Anybody excited for the Super Bowl? Anybody? Few people. Okay, more excitement than the last service. Who's excited for the halftime show? Kendrick Lamar? I don't know. We'll see. They're not like us. I don't know. Commercials? Anybody like the commercials? Woo, woo, woo. And who's like, you know what? It's all good. I don't care that much. Anybody? I don't care that much. Yep. It's all right. Very good. I hope you enjoyed that. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. What's happening? San Marcos, El Cajon, City Heights, Chula Vista, here in the room in Point Loma, joining us online, Rock Church Oahu. Why don't you clap your hands, greet your family, say hello to Rock Church. Amen. A couple things I want to share, then we'll get into today's word. We all saw the 25th anniversary video. Hopefully, maybe your host pastor, your campus pastor told you that something's happening in Point Loma on the anniversary. We're going to 3 services. We're going to 8, 10, and 12. Everybody look up here. Just Point Loma. Just Point Loma. We had a couple people last service that showed up here at 8 o'clock. We didn't, God bless you, but we didn't have service at 8 o'clock just yet. Okay, so that dude was like, help the parking team, brother. Help the parking team then. Put you to work. On the anniversary, Point Loma's going to 8, 10, and 12. Other campuses will remain the same, and then you'll get a change that your campus pastor will let you know about at the end of your service. But make sure to come here. It's going to be a great day. We got new merch dropping. Come on, shout out new merch. We got new church merch. It'll be at all the campuses. There you go. We got some pre-orders happening soon. You can scan the QR code there, hoodies and T-shirts and all the stuff right there. Love some good merch. And it'll be at all the locations. You don't have to come to Point Loma to get it. Can I get a good amen? Amen. Okay. Last thing I'll say, then we'll get into the message today, is the Lord has anointed, called, appointed this church for evangelism. How many know that? That, man, this church is great at reaching people far from God. It's not just a Pastor Miles thing. It's a Rock Church thing. And so God downloaded this training, this equipping ministry called Just One. And the idea is that if we could all reach just one person, we would change the city. We could change the world, change your cul-de-sac, change your workplace. And so we're starting a new series called Just One in a few weeks. And then also, it's going to be a 6-week training that we want the whole church to go through. And it's designed to be taken in groups. It's designed to be experienced online, maybe at home, and also in our midweek community gatherings. No matter where you're doing it, we would love for everybody to do it with a partner. In fact, we're calling them gospel partners. And right now, I just want to ask if you would help me. I want to help you sign up to be a gospel partner so we can pray for you and so that we can just kind of, our goal is to see a couple thousand people sign up today. And so I'm going to get my phone out. I'm going to take 1 minute. Would you get your phone out? Permission to get your phone out in church right now. Come on, get your phone. Everybody just get your phone out. Wave it at me. Come on. Let me see it. Good. Your flashlight's on, ma'am. Your flashlight is on. Okay. You too, sir. You too. Yeah, get your phone out, and I want you to text the words next steps to 52525. And then what you're going to get back is a link. Text next steps to 52525. There's the link. Hit the link. It's going to take you to our next steps page. The first blue highlighted section that says gospel partner, click gospel partner, and then you're going to put your information, your name, you're going to put your number, so we can sell it on Facebook Marketplace and so we can help you, so we can send you resources, so we can equip you for the training. You're going to put your email, and then you're going to scroll down and click, I'm confirming my gospel partner. There's 2 questions there. I shared my faith. You're going to click, confirming my gospel partner. You're going to see it in just a second on the screen. There it is. And then that's where you input your partner. Mine's my wife. All this is just saying, I want to practice with somebody. I want to practice sharing my faith with someone. And so it could be your spouse, it could be your friend, it could be your coworker, it could be somebody that you meet at one of the trainings, but we'd love to see as many people as possible sign up. And then you scroll down and you let us know, are you in a group? No, we'll help you. Yes, I'm currently one, I'd like to join one. Is that good? Can I get a good amen? That was good. Thank you for doing that. Okay, put your phones away. We are now in our second week of our relationship series called Situationships. It's kind of hard to say. Every time I say it, I feel like I'm stumbling on my words. Situationships. And I brought with me a definition that I shared last week. And this is what a situationship is. It's an undefined an unclear romantic connection that lacks boundaries, lacks commitment, and lacks God. Man, situationships. Here's what we know, though, as a church, we believe that God offers a better way to do all of our relationships. And so these 3 weeks, we're unpacking singleness God's way. And last week, I told you that when you do singleness God's way, it doesn't make you weird, it doesn't make you wrong, it doesn't make you weak. It just means that you're smart enough and wise enough to wait on God's best. That's what singleness God's way looks like. Next week, come back, we're gonna be unpacking marriage God's way. Marriage people, make some noise. Married people at church. Ciao! Yeah, married people, awesome. Come back next week. But this week is for all the I wanna be married people. I'm gonna be talking about dating God's way. Anybody at church today on a date? Sometimes that happens. Anybody, our campuses, raise your hand. Anybody at church today on a date? Anybody? I'm gonna scan the room here, one in the back. He's raising his hand. She's like, stop, stop. And one over here in the middle. Okay, I brought some Christian pickup lines just in case you want to meet somebody later today, okay? They're like dad jokes, but they're pretty good. Here's number one. Is it hot in here, or is that just the Holy Spirit burning inside you? It's pretty good. It's okay. It's okay. I like this one. You must be a Bible verse because I'd like to memorize you. Woo! About to get in trouble. About to get in trouble, bro. Man, this is good. Is your name Eve? Because you're the only woman in my world. That's pretty good. Okay, I like this one. I like this one. Write this one down, guys. I was reading the book of Numbers today, and I realized I still don't have yours. Oh, yes. Yes. That is great. Man. After church, you need to drop that one on somebody. Man. Okay, here's my favorite one. My favorite one is your name Faith because you're the substance of things I've hoped for. Ooh, yeah, yeah. You got to read your Bible to know that one. That's out of Hebrews right there. Good. Okay, let's pray. We need God. Come on, we need to pray. We need prayer. Y'all need to be prayed for. Let's go. Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for our series on relationships, situationships. We don't want to do it the world's way. We want to do it your way. So help us, Lord. Help me to teach this well. Help our people become more and more like your son. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Someone shout amen. 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 About a year ago, Vanessa got a new phone. If you're here for the first time or visiting, my wife's name is Vanessa. That's not the girl that I'm using pickup lines on. It's my wife, Vanessa. And about a year ago, she got a new phone, and she put that screen protector. Anybody done the screen protector? Right? They kind of upsell you. Got to get the screen protector. I don't know if you really need the screen protector, but we got it. One that's kind of like glass. Well, first week in, we dropped it. She dropped it, and boom, it cracked. And I thought, man, we should probably just peel it off or replace it. And she just said, you know what? Let's just deal with it. It's just not that big of a deal. And it got worse and worse and worse and worse until finally, after you know all fuzzy pictures and almost bleeding fingertips, we took it off the other day. And here it is. If you can zoom on nice and tight, here we go. This is the film protector that was on Vanessa's phone, and you can see it's all cracked, and every day that we had it, it just got worse and worse. We just couldn't take it anymore. All the photos were messed up, and I'm telling you, this is like, you know, you can cut a finger on this bad boy. And so we took it off, and what's interesting is that when it was on the phone after it was splitting and cracking, it actually made the phone look old. It made the phone look broken. Anybody, you're looking at your phone right now, a few of you are like, yeah, it is pretty jacked up. And we just couldn't take it, and we thought, we peeled it off the other day. And can I just tell you, the moment we pulled it off, we realized, oh, it turns out the phone isn't old. The phone looks brand new. The phone looks great. It just looked messed up because we were seeing it through the broken lens. The world has a broken lens perspective and a broken lens point of view on dating. It doesn't have God's vision. The world doesn't have God's perspective. The world doesn't have God's wisdom on dating. And today's culture has completely distorted the picture of love and sex and marriage and dating. And because the culture sees it through a broken perspective, it embraces situationships in the hopes that you do the same. I want to take you to scripture today. If you got your Bibles with you, I want you to go to John chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. John chapter 4, and I want to read to you a story about a woman that Jesus meets at a well. It's the woman at the well. And he addresses, amongst a few other things, her relationship status. I'm just warning you, today's going to be a little bit teachy, maybe less preachy, and so you got to hang out with me and take some good notes. Here's John chapter 4, verse 5. And so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. What time was it? It was about noon. It's important. Highlight that in your Bible. Underline that in your Bible. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And so Jesus says, man, every time you look to the world for satisfaction, the world will always leave you unfulfilled. But Jesus offers a better way. If you look to the world, you'll always be thirsty. We don't got a lot of thirsty people in here, do we? Or thirsty dating people. You do it the world's way, it leads to unfulfillment. But Jesus, God, he offers a better way. And the story keeps going in verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw the water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." Uh-oh, it's about to get weird. "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands." 1, 2, 3, 4, five husbands. "And the man you now have is not your husband." "What you have just said is quite true, sir," the woman said. "I can see that you're a prophet." In other words, she tells Jesus, "Why are you all up in my business, Jesus? You are in my inbox. You are reading my mail. You are in my jam, Jesus. What is happening? You're all up in my stuff." She's been married five times, five divorces, five broken relationships, but now she's in a dating, look up here, situationship. It's not clear. There's no boundaries. She's hooking up. She's shacking up. It's not God's way. She's in a dating situationship. And notice what time she's there. What time is it? It's noon. Why is that important to the story? Because it's hot. And if you're going to draw water at the well, you don't go at noon when it's hot. You go in the morning when it's cooler. Or you go in the evening when it's cooler. But that's where everybody else goes. So she's filled with shame, and she's filled with condemnation, and she's embarrassed about her relationship status and relationship past and situationship situation. And so she goes when no one can see her. She shows up at noon because she's been divorced five times. She's not married and still currently living with another guy. Now, I'm not trying to jam too many of you up today in a hard way. I'm gonna let the Holy Spirit do that. But for some of you, this story, this is what you're living today. You are in a situationship. You are living with a man that's not your husband. You are having intimacy and sex with multiple people. They're not married to you. You're not even maybe boyfriend and girlfriend. Look at me. It's not right. It's not God's best. That's what the world does. Dating and love the world's way leads to situationships. It's a hookup culture. A hookup culture says, I get together for my pleasure, but I don't stay together for God's purpose. It's just me. It's just for me, and you do you, boo, and I'll do me, and if we split up, break up, it's all good. Situationship is like swipe right mentality. I get my app, and ooh, he looks good, swipe right. She looks nice, swipe right next, swipe right on to the next. But the danger in doing relationships and dating the world's way is that it doesn't prepare you for marriage, the world prepares you for divorce. Because if it gets hard, I can just quit. If dating gets hard, I'm out, I'll just dip. I break up with a text message. It wasn't me, it was you. And I dip. They want me to change and grow. I just break up, bro. If I lose interest and I get bored, I'm just gonna find somebody else. The world is wild. The world, similar to the woman at the well, chases intimacy and rejects commitment. The world chases intimacy. feel good, get something, draw close. Cuffing season. By the way, do y'all know it's cuffing season? Same thing as situationship. Cuffing season is this kind of time period where it's cold and winter months and everyone wants to get all booed up and snuggle on somebody that they don't even know. And then around springtime, when it's sun's out, guns out, we break up. Because it's time to meet, it's time to do me again. Same thing. The world chases intimacy but rejects commitment. Here's what dating God's way means. I will not allow my level of intimacy to surpass my level of commitment. Can we put that up for the people of God? There it is right there. Never allow your level of intimacy to surpass your level of commitment. If you get one thing today, get this. If you leave with one nugget today, leave with this. If you take one note today, take this. Mom, dad, give this to your kids. Brother, sister, send it to your friend. Dating person, I want you to get this in your mind because in my opinion, this is the biggest problem that dating couples face. There are levels to intimacy, like prayer, that's intimate. Meeting the family, that's intimate. Kissing up, holding hands, all of that, sex, all of those are different levels of intimacy, but there's also levels of commitment. And the moment that intimacy outpaces commitment, that's where all the problems live. When intimacy starts running out ahead before I'm committed to anything, that's where all the problems are. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or an atheist. If you start playing married couple, but you haven't been graced by marriage covenant, it gets messy. You know, a lot of people out here playing married couples, but you haven't been graced, you haven't been blessed by the covenant of marriage. That's why it feels wild to you. So if you want to do it the right way, you want to do it God's way, we got to make sure that intimacy doesn't outpace my commitments. So here's my question. When you think about the type of dating you've been doing, are you doing it God's way or the world's way? When you just think about how you've been operating in relationships, if you had to be honest with yourself or honest with me before the Lord, you said, man, am I doing it the world's way or am I doing it God's way? Because the world's way has zero standards. It's just kind of free for all, whatever you want, wherever you can fit in, get in. God's way has high standards. Can I get an amen? Amen. And it's a good amen. That God has standards for a reason and God brings principles of truth and wisdom for a reason. Watch this. Whatever standard you set indicates the value you place on that relationship. Zero standards, all I'm saying to that person and God is, listen, I don't care if it works out or not. I place no standards, and the standard that you place just communicates the potential future you believe it has. But if I place God's standards and God's way on my dating relationships, I'm telling God and that person, I believe in this. I believe this has purpose. I believe this has potential. I believe this thing has marriage on it. We got to get it right. And if we do it right God's way, that means we will not let our intimacy surpass my level of commitment. I want to give you 9 ordered commitments that every dating relationship needs. This is a lot. I tell you, it's teachy today, less preachy. I want you to get this. It's a lot of information, but I want to make sure, because I think it's going to change someone's life today. 9 ordered commitments that every dating relationship needs. Here's number one. The first commitment I make is identity in Christ. My identity in Christ. Before you start dating, can you with integrity say, I've been made whole in Jesus' name? Some of you know my testimony. When I moved to San Diego in 2004, I was going to San Diego State my junior year and was involved in a bad relationship, had a bad breakup. And quickly after the breakup, I realized that a lot of my identity was in that relationship. Because the moment the relationship ended and the breakup happened, I was just so depressed. I just felt like, man, I don't have anybody to bring me significance. I just, man, is it something wrong with me? And then quickly after, I just tried to work and make money and build this image to make sure, well, if they hurt me, I'm gonna make sure no one else makes me feel like that again. It was a misplaced identity. But I love what Philippians 4:19 says. It says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. So the job can't meet all your needs, and the house that you wanna buy will never fulfill all of your needs. And certainly a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a fiance or even a husband or wife will not meet all of your needs. The only thing that gives you life, love, and purpose is Jesus Christ. And so my first commitment, before I find a date, I find my identity in Christ. That's the first commitment. Here's the second one. Number two, a community of faith. And so I commit to my identity in Christ. And then number two, a community of faith. Because church isn't just a place that helps me, it's the place that holds me together. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And so the community that I'm a part of, this church, this family, it helps shape me. This community of faith prays for me. My church family holds me accountable. And then often it is the place that you find somebody. I mean, that's my story. 17 years ago, out here on the sidewalk in Point Loma, this sweet little thing was walking up with a little Bible in her hand, doing all the things and coming up here. And I was just like, dang. And then I walked up and said, "Hey, what's your name? Where are you going? What's happening?" And she was going to this ministry. It was on a Wednesday night, by the way. Shout out people that go to midweek stuff. Sunday's great, but God's got more for you. And so Wednesday night, there she is. And I rolled up and I just wanted to go all over this girl. All over her. I married her, by the way, so just listen, it's okay. I married her. But I'm so grateful that I had a church community that said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 easy, cowboy, easy. God's got some stuff he wants to work out in you first." And so before I pursue all this intimacy, I go, "God, what commitments do you have for me?" I don't allow my level of intimacy to surpass my level of commitment. So my first commitment is my identity in Christ. Number two is my community of faith. Number three is I gotta get an eternal perspective. An eternal perspective. That means my mind's on the kingdom before my mind is on dating. My mind's on the kingdom before my mind is on hooking up, on pleasure. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things above, not on the things of the world, not on earthly things." And so when I realize, and when you realize, when the person in San Marcos or Oahu realizes that you are a citizen of heaven, I don't pursue dating just to get pleasure. I pursue dating because it gets me closer to marriage, which absolutely gets me to my purpose. I have my mind set on the kingdom and the kingdom purposes. Here's number four. Once I've got my identity and I've got my community and I have my perspective, number four, now I start a pursuit, an intentional pursuit. I've done the work. I'm ready now to then have an intentional pursuit. You actually have to begin the relationship somewhere. You can't just hang around by osmosis and hope you guys just end up together. Okay, you gotta actually say something, do something. It's a proclamation of intent. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love, Lord, will pursue me all the days of my life." And so if God is our example for love, God's love isn't passive in any way or on any day. So guys, we gotta stop being passive and getting friend-zoned. Okay, and I asked a lot of guys, like, "Listen, are you gonna be intentional?" I'm gonna be intentional. "Okay, tell me what you did." "Okay, I went on her Instagram and I liked 17 of her posts." Okay, you're still in the friend zone. "Okay, what else did you do?" "Well, I've also been showing up to all the same places that she likes to go." "Okay, it's getting weird, bro. You're giving stalker now, okay?" Somewhere between friend zone and stalker, right here in the middle, is intentional pursuit. I wrote this statement down because if I had to do it again today, and I know maybe this is old school, but if I had to do this again today and I saw Vanessa walking up, I would say this right here. "I think you're really beautiful and I'd love to get to know you more. Can I take you out for coffee?" That's exactly what the last service did, super quiet. And I asked one of the guys in my group, the men's group that I lead, I go, "Bro, why were they so quiet?" And my friend Ricky, he goes, "I think one, the guys are too nervous to amen that. And then number two, maybe the other ladies had never been courted the right way. I never even thought, they just come straight up to me? Like, you don't wanna just DM me first?" No, just listen. It may be old school, but can we just get back to an actual pursuit, an intentional pursuit, a declaration of my intent? It's not weird. I'm not trying to just hang around and be around and just listen. I'm just gonna be here until the last guy dies and she has no one else but me. Just say something. And here's the deal. If you hit her with the, "I think you're beautiful and I'd love to get to know you, can I take you out for coffee?" And she says no, bro, just leave. Just leave, dog. It's over. But you did it. We need intentional pursuit. I'm pursuing it. I'm not letting intimacy and by the way, some of the guys or girls that aren't willing to have an intentional pursuit, you start building these vain imaginations and fantasies in your heart and mind. And you start imagining what it would be like. And there's the intimacy. You start mentally and emotionally and spiritually making connections that are not real. That's why you have to make the commitment to go, I'm gonna first have my identity in Christ. I got my community of faith to hold me up. I got an eternal perspective, and then there's an actual intentional pursuit. Here's number five. I commit to time together. Time together. This is how you find out what you're really getting into, okay? You gotta find out what you're getting into. I love Proverbs 19, verse 2. It says, desire without knowledge is not good. Can we say that together? Desire without knowledge is not good. One more time. Desire without knowledge is not good. Then it says, how much more will hasty feet miss the way? Just because you think something looks good, bro, you know nothing about her. It says, desire, just want to get after him. Dude's got abs, and it's just the teeth are all straight, and the hair is all faded nice, and it's just got just Jordan, the whole thing, and he pulled up, and just, is that a Mercedes? What is that? That's nice. You don't know nothing about that dude. That dude could be selling weed on the side and selling whatever over here, and he could be the club promoter of all the clubs, and he's out here with all the ladies, but he pulled up to church today, and you're like, dang. Desire without knowledge, come on, somebody, is not good. You gotta have time together. And so I made an actual pursuit where, okay, let's go to coffee, but you gotta have time together, sharing your life. Good relationships need time, and you can't rush something that takes a lifetime of learning. I'm still learning things about Vanessa, and Vanessa still is learning things about me. Just the other day, I found out that she thinks that I'm losing my hearing. I was like, what? What? And she's, I think you should get it checked out. I'm like, you should get it checked out. What are you talking about? She thinks I'm losing my hearing, and I am around a lot of loud things a lot of the day. A lot of the days here at church and music and stuff. And so you start believing it, like, man, maybe I am losing my hearing. But I found out it's because she likes to talk to me from the bathroom that's in our bedroom that's down the hall while I was in the garage. Okay? What do you mean you didn't hear that? She's right there. And so I was asking my daughter, Anaya, when my wife says something, I go, did you hear that? She's like, no, give me some. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm not losing my hearing. We learn stuff about each other all the time. Like, that's what you think, and this is what I'm like, and don't rush dating. Here's what I always say. Date for a long enough time, and eventually be engaged for a shorter time. Date for a long enough time. I'm not talking about these 7-year dating relationships that will have no end. But date long enough to know who the person is. Date for a longer time and eventually be engaged for a shorter time. But you need time together to see the good days, the bad days, come on, and the horrible days. And it's on those horrible days together that you learn a lot about you and them. My intimacy won't outpace my level of commitment. Here's my sixth commitment. Number six, I will commit to sincere communication. And this is for dating people, single people, married people, want to be married people. Number six, sincere communication. This is how you build trust. And the married people know this. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. It starts with that. Quick to listen. Like I'm listening first. I want to know about you. And then I'm slow to speak. And if I can be quick to listen, and if I'm slow to speak, then this last one's easy and slow to become angry. How many married people at church today, when you think about what it was like when you were dating your now spouse, talking on the phone for hours at a time? Anybody, you remember those days? A few married people, maybe that's old school. Now you just send texts for 2 hours. I don't know. We talked, and we would talk. She'd be at work late. She's a school teacher, and she'd be packing up and there at the school too late, and I'm on the phone, and I'm just right here not saying a thing. I'm just quick to listen. And I'm just listening to each other breathe. Yes, just happy to be here, you know what I mean? Just happy to be here. Just saying a whole bunch of nothing. And then eventually, you know, I'm here still. I'm here. What are you doing? And then you gotta hang up eventually. You hang up, now you hang up. Okay, we're gonna hang up at the same time on the count of three. Okay, 1, 2, 3. You didn't hang up, I didn't hang up either. No one hangs up. You just spend time talking to each other, enjoying communication. You gotta have that. Intimacy comes, but I gotta make these commitments in the right order. I gotta do it the right way. Here's what Sincere, honest, kind communication does. It builds trust. It creates safety in sharing, and it tells the other person, I am really, really interested in who God's made you to be. I'm really interested in who you are. Here's the seventh thing. Number seven, I commit to a public declaration. Woo! This is a good one. This is for somebody. I got my identity in Christ. I've got a community of faith. I have my eternal perspective. I realize that as a citizen of heaven, I don't just date for my pleasure, I date for my purpose. Number four, I have an intentional pursuit. I actually make a proclamation of intent. I like you. I wanna go out with you. Then we spend time together. Then we have communication, it's building trust. And number seven, there is a public declaration made. You shouldn't be the only one that knows you're in a relationship. And that's where a lot of people are at right now. It's just you and him. Or maybe it's just you. She don't even know that you're in a relationship. You tell all your friends, yeah, we're dating. That's not what she said. You need a public declaration. Ruth chapter 4, verse 11 says, then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. They're watching it. They're seeing it. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah. When we were dating, it wasn't official unless it was Facebook official. Okay, maybe it's different now, but in 2008, it was not official unless your relationship status went from single or it's complicated to in a relationship. And then you could tell all your homies and all my friends, hey man, we're dating, yeah. I'll wait and see your Facebook official. Let me know when you change it. And then it would change. It'd be like, yeah, it's real now. We're telling people. We're telling people that we're in a relationship. Don't date in the shadows. If you're dating in the shadows, it's probably because your level of intimacy has surpassed your level of commitment. You're shacking up, and you're hooking up, and you're living with him, and you're sleeping with her, and you're over here, and you don't want to tell anybody because like the woman at the well, you got shame and condemnation. And there's embarrassment, and so I don't want to tell anybody about my situationship. But the couples that date and do it God's way, they make a public declaration. When I date, I let people know. Here's number eight. After I make that declaration, I learn how to operate in conditional grace. Conditional grace. And someone may email me for this one or get me in trouble, but I like this one. Conditional grace, because I wrote down, remember you're not married yet when you're dating, so there's an appropriate level of forgiveness that's different in dating than in marriage. Okay, because if he's abusive, I don't want you to keep dating him. If he's a perpetual cheater, I don't want you to keep forgiving him over and over so he cheats over and over again. But if he's a liar in dating, I may end it. If he's a liar in marriage, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I make every effort to make it work out. There's a different type of grace in dating than marriage. You can't mess around and play marriage games. You gotta do it the Lord's way. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Like we each do it. We're each exchanging this compassion and kindness. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And so if you're gonna make it work in your dating relationship, when it gets hard, you'll need to forgive. And here's why. Because the best relationships aren't the ones that have zero conflict. The best relationships are the ones that have learned how to forgive quickly. I operate in a conditional grace, the type of forgiveness and grace and mercy that's appropriate for a dating relationship. Here's the last one, number nine, and hang out with me, I had a cool story. Number nine, an ordered priority. I'll give them to you one more time in order. Number one, I commit to my identity in Christ. Number two, I commit to a community of faith. Three, I have an eternal perspective. Number four, there's an intentional pursuit. There's a beginning proclamation of my intent with this person. Then we spend time together. There's sincere communication. Then there's a public declaration. People know that we're together. I learn and grow in this conditional grace, but then I commit to the ordered priority of the relationship. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So when you're dating, Jesus is first. And when you're engaged, Jesus is first. And when you're married, Jesus is first. And maybe when you're dating, it's Jesus, your family, your community, your friends, and then he can get some time too. When you're dating for marriage and it's growing, maybe it's Jesus and it's my family and my community, and then he's hanging out now with me and my friends. He just graduated one step up. There's an ordered priority. And then when we're engaged and the dating has progressed, now it's Jesus still. It's my family, but now she's a part of it, and my community and my friends and everything else. And then when it's marriage, we just are all championing it together. It's Jesus, and my spouse has moved ahead of even my family. But notice who's at the center and who's at the beginning. Jesus. Jesus must be first, and no matter the order, Jesus is the priority that makes every single relationship work. An ordered priority. Here's how the story ends. I'll take you back to John chapter 4, and then we'll wrap up. John chapter 4, verse 25, it says, "The woman said, 'I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.' Then Jesus declared, 'I, the one speaking to you, I am he.' Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?'" And so you can begin to play. And as I just illustrate this for you, this woman is there, and it says that the disciples come up to her and Jesus. And they don't ask what they're doing, but they take notice that he's been talking to this woman, which is inappropriate for that time, and Samaritans and Jews are not usually friends or neighbors. And so it's already kind of odd. But she says, I know there's a Messiah, and he's coming, and he's gonna fix all this stuff. And then Jesus says, the one that you're talking about, the one who you've been speaking to, I'm that guy. And without hesitation, she looks at her jar, and she doesn't forget it, she leaves it. It says, leaving her water jar behind, she goes into town and she tells everybody, come see the man that told me everything I've been doing. I left this behind. Why? Because this is the thing that reminded her of her past. This water jar was the one that she would lug with her at noon when it was hot, when no one's around, because I'm embarrassed and I'm in shame and I'm living in sin and I'm sleeping with him and I got all these broken pasts romantically. And so I go when no one's there. This thing represents my shame. But she meets Jesus and she makes that commitment to him. Come see the Messiah. This man has told me everything. Matter of fact, you know what? I don't need this anymore. I'm leaving the old way behind. I'm leaving the world's ways behind. And that's the challenge for you today, is to say, I'm leaving the world's way of doing dating and love and sex and relationships behind. Why? Because I've met Jesus. Come see the man who's told me everything I've ever done and everything I ever will be. So I want to pray for you, and I want to invite you to commit yourself to the Lord's way, doing love, doing dating, doing singleness, doing marriage, do it the Lord's way. And all that means, especially for users that are dating, is that I will never allow my level of intimacy to outpace my level of commitment. I'm committed to my identity in Jesus, and I'm committed to my community of faith. I'm committed to having an eternal perspective, and then I pursue somebody, and then we spend time together, and we talk with each other, and I learn how to grow in forgiveness and grace, but then I make sure that I got my priorities straight, and Jesus will be first. Once you bow our head, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for this message. Thank you for John chapter 4 and the woman at the well. And here we are 2,000 plus years past that story, and we're still preaching it, still teaching it, still being edified and built up by it. Lord, for the person that needs to leave the world's ways of dating behind, I pray they just pray this in the quiet of their heart. And if that's you, you're leaving the world's standards, the world's ways of relationships behind you. Just say this in the quiet of your heart. Dear God, I admit that I've struggled. I admit that I've been selfish, but I believe that you have a better way. Help me to make commitments to you before I ever go towards intimacy with others. And for that person that needs to just find Jesus today, maybe that's the commitment you need to make. I want you to pray this in the quiet of your heart and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I admit that I failed, but I believe that you love me and you have the power to forgive my sin. So right now, I invite you into my life. Forgive me and heal me and change me forever. I confess you as Lord. Thank you for loving me. I love you. as everybody's heads are bowed, as you keep all of your eyes closed, and just a holy, sacred moment, I'd love for you on the count of three, if you prayed either one of those prayers, to stick your hand up in the air so I can see you, because I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to just put eyes on who's making that commitment today and speak a blessing of your life. So on the count of three, if you prayed either one of those prayers, just stick it up nice and high. One, two, three, hands up in the air. You prayed that prayer. That's awesome. There's so many people. It's great. Awesome. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. That's great. You can put your hands down. So, Lord, we just say thank you at every location, online, those here in the room that I'm speaking in, wherever they can hear my voice, Lord, and those people said, yes, Jesus, I choose you today. Lord, I want your way for doing relationships. Lord, I don't want to date the world's way. I want to date your way. I'm not getting messed up with all the intimacy and entangled up. I want to commit my life to your way and your will. So, Lord, bless those people today. We pray this in the name that's above every other name, in Jesus' name, and everybody said together,